read, "Keen in control." As far as everyone was concerned, I was just as successful when I got out of college. After my father retired from the fire department, we ran a bunch of businesses together, ranging from trucking and construction to frozen food. Besides the house I built for myself in Kankakee, I had a couple of others in Chicago, including one in the ritzy area they call the Gold Coast. Wherever I stayed, the latest Corvette was always in the driveway, with a crotch rocket and a Harley in the garage and a hot girl in the bedroom. But all my good fortune was never as good as it seemed. My parents may have looked great together, but actually they never got along well, and their divorce, when I was 11, put an end to my happy childhood. While I was in high school, they struggled with their finances too, more than anyone else knew, and it was rough keeping up with the fast crowd I was hanging with. But back then I discovered a way to put more money in my pocket than the richest kids had, selling drugs. I was kind of a natural for it, with the charm I inherited from my parents and the fearlessness that I felt from my experience in sports and martial arts. Instead of going to a big-name university where I could play football, I went to a community college in a suburb of Chicago where I could keep expanding my business. I stopped going to class after 2 years so I could deal full-time. I had all the cash you could ever want to buy stupid stuff, but also to help my dad when he got into financial trouble. He never wanted to know where all my money was coming from, but the businesses we started together were also a way for me to earn a legitimate income. Only those businesses never worked out the way we hoped. In fact, they lost money, which put me back on my dealer treadmill, running that much harder to stay in place, until the feds came knocking in 1996. Along with my front door, they shattered every dream I ever had, and every dream my dad had, too. I took a plea, not knowing I would get a sentence of 10 years to life in return. After 10 months, I had just started to settle down to do my time in a Michigan federal prison when I got yanked back to Illinois again. Now my prosecutor was ready to make me an offer. It was strange beyond belief, and it would change my life more than any prison sentence. The Ford County Jail was an unlikely place for Jimmy Keen to find deliverance. Located in Paxton, barely a smudge of a city in the great expanse of central Illinois farmland, it sat practically hidden behind the squat courthouse. The jail dated back to the 19th century, but more recent renovations were practically a monument to indifference, grafting two mismatched brick buildings to the original limestone structure with as much thought to design as a pile of toddler's blocks. On the inside, the hodgepodge design continued through a warren of cramped, oddly shaped cells that stank of urine and body odor. For Keen, any time he spent in the jail was a special kind of torture. "I'd rather be in a hardcore prison and have to worry about getting stabbed," he says, "than be confined in that little nasty ancient history shithole." Unfortunately for him, Ford County Jail was somewhat centrally located on his road to ruin. An hour up the highway in one direction was his hometown of Kankakee, where he was busted for conspiracy to distribute cocaine. Down the highway from Ford County in the other direction was the U.S. courthouse in Urbana, where he took a plea on the drug charge and was sentenced to 10 years. Then he was held at the jail a few days longer until he was transferred to the custody of the U.S. Bureau of Prisons. He did not relish returning to Ford County yet again in 1998, even though he would be closer to family and friends, and he certainly didn't look forward to seeing Lawrence Beaumont, the assistant U.S. attorney who had summoned him from his federal prison in Michigan. He blamed Beaumont most for his crushing sentence. The prosecutor had worn a full beard then, shot with gray, and Jimmy remembered how he stared down on him in the courtroom from a terrible height, like some Old Testament prophet, eyes blazing and voice booming. When Keene's lawyer, Jeff Steinbeck, told him that Beaumont was ready to talk about a deal for an early release, Jimmy says, "I immediately thought it was some kind of trap." Keene had not been any small-time dealer. In the 15 years before his arrest, he had built one of the biggest independent drug empires in the Chicago area. Along the way, he had dealt with a tempting array of targets for the feds. His suppliers included a Mexican drug lord and Chicago area mafiosi. Among his customers were porn stars, yuppies, cops, doctors, lawyers, club owners,